Hello and welcome to our site. This evening we continue in lessons from the life of David. We have looked in the Old Testament at David the shepherd, David the warrior, and David the fugitive. This evening we're going to take a look at David the friend. So please have your Bible handy and turn with me to the first book of Samuel in chapter 18, and we're going to read some selected verses beginning in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, reading the first four verses, and then some verses that follow in a few of the chapters after that. So, do you have it there in your Bible? 1 Samuel, chapter 18, and from verse 1 to verse 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day Saul kept David with him, and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And then over to chapter 19, from verse 1. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan was very fond of David, and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I will speak to him about you, and will tell you what I find out." Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. And what has he done? Everything he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, "As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. Then over to chapter 20 and the first four verses. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to take my life?" "Never," Jonathan replied, "you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without confiding in me. Why would he hide this from me? It's not so." But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes." And he has said to himself, "Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I will do for you." Then down to verse 8. "As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord. If I am guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father?" Verse 16 of the same chapter. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. And then moving to verse 42 of the same chapter, chapter 20 of 1 Samuel. They kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. And then turn over to chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, and reading from verse 16 to verse 18. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh, and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. Just so far as we read some of this stunning story of this amazing friendship between David and Jonathan. You probably know the proverb that's found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Oh, friend, if ever the world needed demonstrations of friendship, surely it is now. Friendship that was closer than the friendship shared between brothers. That was certainly the case in the friendship that David and Jonathan shared. And I want to underscore the fact that these two men were not weaklings, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, or physically. They were men's men. By that I mean true men, real men, great men, very much men, competent and skilled men, men of great strength of character. Jonathan was a prince and a general, like David, a good leader and an inspirer of people. In both David and Jonathan, we see courage, strength, and endurance blended with true emotion and genuine compassion. Theirs was true brotherly love, though they were not blood brothers. Theirs was a kind of brotherly love that the Apostle Paul longed to see growing in all the churches that he planted. David and Jonathan both shared an authentic and strong faith relationship with God. They both knew how to strengthen themselves in the Lord, and they helped each other to find strength in God when their circumstances were worse than terrible. Both these men were amazing in their relationship to King Saul, Jonathan as the king's son, and David as his friend. Jonathan and his father, together in life, undivided in death. What a difficult role Jonathan was called to play, to be loyal to his demonized father at the same time be loyal to David, his dearest friend. I tell you, when the heart says one thing and the appointment of God another, when duty and desire are in conflict, that'll tell you right there what you are made of. Jonathan is one of the greatest men to grace the pages of the Old Testament, and so too, of course, is David, the man after God's own heart, who endured all that Saul threw at him, no less than 7 attempts on his life, and yet he stayed loyal to Saul and Jonathan to the day of their death, when the Philistines defeated Israel at Mount Gilboa. Only one thing can make such a friendship so noble, so true, when so much is threatening to ruin it, and that is an overriding desire to honour God and trust our destiny to Him, come what may. These two men laid bare their hearts in a covenant that we read of in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Turn there and just take a look again at those verses. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And look at this, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Friend, let me hasten to say there was nothing immoral or wrong with this love relationship. It was a genuine love between two men that was moral to the core. David loved Jonathan. Jonathan loved David with a pure, real, sensitive devotion. And notice what happens here in this covenant. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing. Remember, he's the king's son. He is a prince. And he gives it to David along with his tunic, even his sword and his bow and his belt. What an amazing demonstration of a covenant, an agreement between two men. The oath, the terms of the covenant, and the signs of the covenant, and the sacrifice that is inherent in that covenant. What we see here is, in effect, Jonathan giving his life to David, David giving his life to Jonathan. And so time and again, through the years that follow, Jonathan honors the covenant by standing up for David before his father Saul. And to his dying day, David honors the covenant that he made with Jonathan. And David refused to harm Saul because of his awareness of the call and the anointing of God that was upon Israel's first king. So here is true friendship. When you study these scriptures and look at the basis of this true friendship, you find several things in the scriptures here. It is a friendship that is based on sincerity, on purity, on honesty, on holiness. It's a friendship that is based on integrity, loyalty, sacrifice, transparency, obedience, and it is fired by genuine love. It is one of the closest demonstrations in all of Scripture of what the New Testament calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Love that is characterized by joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. It is the kind of love that is found in Jesus, the kind of love that Jesus has for you and for me. Pure, holy, transparent, full-blooded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul gives us that timeless chapter on love as he defines love to the church at Corinth in the first century. And he says, "If I speak in the tongues or the languages of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." And now he defines love, godly love, the kind of love that Jonathan and David shared. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. This is the kind of love that is shared by David and Jonathan in their friendship. They love with true friendship, that is, with a fierce loyalty. They love with self-effacing kindness. They love with heartfelt emotion. And so I'd like to take you on a little in this story as we look at David, the true friend, David the friend, the man after God's own heart. And so turn with me once again to the Old Testament scriptures, and I want to just demonstrate the love of David the friend in three incidents that follow the chapter that we read together. We find them in the second book of Samuel, beginning in the first chapter of Samuel. I want to just draw your attention to, first of all, the lament over Saul and Jonathan that we find in 2 Samuel and chapter 1. And then to take you from there to the restoration of Mephibosheth, the cripple with a crazy name, the restoration of Mephibosheth that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and then from there to take you to David's mourning over his rebellious son Absalom, and that is found in 2 Samuel chapter 18. So follow me now as we just take a look at those incidents in Scripture. First of all, David's lament over Saul and Jonathan. And so we're looking now at the second book of Samuel and chapter 1. 2 Samuel and chapter 1. Turning to it in my Bible, I hope you're getting it in your Bible. Here is David the friend. Saul and Jonathan have been slain on the slopes of Mount Gilboa, and David takes up his lament for Saul and Jonathan. 2 Samuel 1 verse 17, David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and ordered that the men of Judah be taught this lament of the bow. It is written in the book of Jashar, "Your glory, O Israel, lay slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. O mountains of Gilboa, may you never have dew or rain, nor fields that yield offerings for grain. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, the sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul. You who clothed in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold, how the mighty have fallen in battle! Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen! The weapons of war have perished." You know, I think when the angels in heaven were perhaps given a glimpse of this, that the Lord rose from his throne and said, "Take a look at that. Take a look at David. He loved like a true friend." Then turn to the next incident I want to draw your attention to, when the kingdom was irrevocably in David's hands. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness, God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you'd notice a dead dog like me?" And then in verse 11, the second part, "So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons." And I think the Lord must have said to the hosts of glory and to the angels of heaven, "Do you see that? Do you see David, the man after my own heart? He loves like a true friend." A third incident is the story of David's rebellious son, the smooth, silver-tongued Absalom, who led a conspiracy against his father, and David ended up leaving Jerusalem and mourning. And when Absalom is finally killed in the battle, the runners come to David with the news, one after the other, and when it is confirmed that Absalom, David's rebellious son, has truly been slain in the battle, we read at the end of chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, the Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." I think when the Lord saw that, he said to the heavenly hosts and to the angels in glory, "Do you see that? That's an example of true friendship. There's a man after my own heart. Look at David, the friend." David the friend teaches us several lessons as we close this evening. First of all, David teaches us that real friendship should be like a sacred covenant that will never be broken. He teaches us that real friendship is based on integrity, purity, loyalty, honesty, transparency, and sacrifice. David the friend teaches us that real friendship is a two-way street. It can never be merely one-sided. It has to be reciprocal for it to be real friendship experienced and enjoyed. David teaches us that real friendship will not avoid confrontation, nor will it compromise the truth. David teaches that real friendship bears no grudges and keeps no record of wrongs. He teaches us that real friendships do not exclude other real friendships. And he teaches us that if you're not willing to be a friend and make friends, you're not willing to be on mission with God. David the friend teaches us that if you, like David and Jonathan, have an overriding desire to honor God and trust your destiny to Him, you're a true candidate for mission. If ever our world needed to see true friendship, it is surely now. A world ripped apart by a pandemic on the one hand, and by racism, division, discrimination, divorce, inequality, abuse, poverty, selfishness, and brokenness. What are the signs of a desirable friend? Stormy O'Martian, in her best-selling, excellent little book, Praying Through the Bible, highlights some of the verses that were given in Scripture. It says, following are the signs of a desirable friend. You might like to take these verses down as I just read them to you. A desirable friend tells you the truth in love. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A desirable friend gives you sound advice. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. A desirable friend refines you. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. A desirable friend helps you grow in wisdom. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. A desirable friend stays close to you. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. A desirable friend loves you and stands by you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A desirable friend helps in times of trouble. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, a friend can help him up. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. A desirable friend is not rebellious. Do not join with the rebellious, for those two, the Lord and the King, will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. Proverbs 24, 21 and 22. Do not join with the rebellious. And then, lastly, a desirable friend is not often angry. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Yes, pray that God will give you good, godly friends who will influence and encourage you to grow deeper in him. And God help us, each one, in these difficult days, to be the kind of friend that David was to Jonathan, that Jonathan was to David. Above all, to know the friendship of the Lord Jesus. How wonderful that Jesus says to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, I'm calling you friends." Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this fine example of true friendship that we see in these two great men, Jonathan and David. Thank you for the lessons that we can glean from their experience of genuine friendship that is holy, full of integrity, purity, honesty, sincerity, truth, compassion, patience. Thank you, dear Lord, that we see in this friendship mirrored the kind of friendship that the Lord Jesus offers to each one of us. We thank you for Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners, the one who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross. And we thank you, our Father, that you have shown us in Jesus, and through his sacrifice for us on the cross, where he bore our sin and paid our debt, and through his triumphant resurrection from the dead, where he showed that he has conquered sin and death. Thank you, Father, that in Jesus we have a Saviour perfectly suited to our need, a Redeemer who is strong, one who is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through faith in him. And so we pray now that every listener may know the Christ who came, lived, died, rose again, and is ascended as Lord of glory, and who says to us, each one, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Grant us the grace to come to Jesus in full and glad surrender, to find in him the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Lord that we need, and through his indwelling Holy Spirit, the ability to show the world what true friendship is. Take our lives, we pray, consecrate us to yourself, and use us, Lord, in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.